Thanks to RX Bar for supporting the morning stream. RX Bar is a whole food protein bar with no BS. Get 25% off your first order at rxbar.com/TMS and use the promo code TMS. That's rxbar.com/TMS. And that promo code is TMS. Coming up on TMS, did he leave?
Emmys happened.
The First Amendment and boobs.
And times are coming again.
That car looks like food.
There's a snake in my Walmart.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
All right, check out this bad boy. 12 megabytes of RAM, 500 megabyte hard drive, built-in spreadsheet capabilities, and a modem that transmits at over 28,000 BPS.
That's a silly question, isn't it? Look at you.
The Morning Stream. It's high noon.
Well, it's high noon in the Eastern time zone.
Right.
Where Genie is. It's high noon there.
He doesn't even say it. It's high noon.
It's high noon. Hi, everybody. I've been playing more of that. You know, they added that deathmatch mode into Overwatch there?
Hmm. I don't know what that is.
It's
is that where you die if you lose? Like,
it's like, you've never heard of deathmatch?
No,
really? Hold on a minute. This is for real. You've never heard of deathmatch in a shooter? That's never been a thing you've heard of.
No, huh?
All right, so let's explain this.
I'm new to these video games of what you described there, Mr. Johnson.
All right, so deathmatch, a term going all the way back to the early 1990s Doom era.
Okay.
It's when you would you'd play against other people and you'd shoot them, mm-hmm. and you'd rack up the score, and whoever had the most points by the end of the score meeting or the timer running out, you're the winner because you won the deathmatch game. So deathmatch is just a mode of play.
So basically, what I refer to as PvP.
Yeah. sort of, except that came later.
Right.
So yes, deathmatch is specifically has its nomenclature in the history of shooters. But here's the thing: in Overwatch, it's all about at least when it launched and up till now, it's always been about kind of objective based play, right? Like, get on the point.
So this is like, no, don't worry about the payload. Don't worry about protecting this area or protecting that area, that sort of thing. It is how many times you die.
Yeah, just kill each other.
Runs out.
Yeah, just run around and shoot each other. All right. There's two modes. There's a free for all, and then there's a team deathmatch. So you can be on a team or you can be on your own, and it's very old school, and it's awesome. It's really good. It's the first mode in that game where I could say, "Hey, you've added something seriously new," and well, it's not new in terms of concept, but new to the table of Overwatch that feels like a real new mode. Mm. It's not just some weird little arcadey thing that's hanging off to the side or whatever. It's like a fully fleshed out thing. And even though it is in the arcade section, I think it deserves more prominence. Anyway, I've been playing the hell out of that. That's really good.
Yeah, I mean, that's something I remember doing deathmatch, then the equivalent of that in GoldenEye.
Yeah, that was deathmatch. I would also, you played some Call of Duty before, right?
Yeah, Call of Duty. Okay, yeah. All right.
Team deathmatch, deathmatch. You've been playing it for years and just didn't know it was called
Didn't know what it was. Didn't know that there was a name for it. Wow.
Wow. Right. This is usually Scott's purview of a word he hasn't heard.
Well,
feels good.
Not when it comes to video games, though. I think, I may be able to do this sort of thing with obscure soundtracks. And hey, you remember what else you've seen that guy from that movie in? But when it comes to video games, I think this is certainly where you excel.
Plus, you could argue that your skill with the musical remembrances is a more useful skill than my terminology in video games. But anyway,
well, whatever. We're not, e-peening.
There's no e-peen. There's no peen. Put your peens away, everybody. Put your creamy peen where it belongs. Hey, Free Rangers says, it seems like some Overwatch characters would do really poorly in deathmatch, like Lucio and Mercy. Incorrect. In fact, I was in a game where we got dominated by Mercy. And I think that's what my biggest takeaway was, how well everybody can play. It doesn't, the classifications kind of melt away in a deathmatch scenario. And they haven't rebalanced characters or anything for that. It's just who they are. But you can play really well with one of those characters. And it was shocking. Like, I got pistol killed like 8 times by this Mercy. It was ridiculous. And she's not,
I love
know.
It. Pistol whipped?
Yeah, like, pistol hit, well.
Oh, pistol killed. Shot, okay, not yeah. pistol whipped. Like, she didn't have you tied to a chair. Where are those?
Where are the Russian documents? Tell us now.
Where, tell us where we'll find the ebony eagle.
Yep, she's swinging a bag under my chair and hitting me in the Gruber. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? Anyway.
Well, exactly what you're talking about, Daniel Craig.
It's really good. And plus, because both Lucio and Mercy have heal over time as part of their thing, they have a much easier time healing. So they actually are great. It's a great, it's a really cool new mode. And I don't know why I started the show with it, but there it is. Hey, cool. It's Monday, September 18th, rather. It's Scott and Brian here doing the morning stream show, and we're happy to be here. I think the jerk neighbor of mine, the one that has the card and stuff, I think he may have moved.
Yeah. Like the Ed Begley Jr. screaming in the middle of the night dude.
Yeah, and I think he may have left the building. I think he may have packed it up, you know?
Wow.
Now, the rumor was that he's got this inheritance from his rich dad and that, you know, that they bought that thing with cash and that maybe what's happened is now they're renting it to somebody. Mm. Either way, I'm thrilled about it. And I had to learn this from a 9-year-old kid who lives 2 doors down, who said to me, I said, hey, do you know if so-and-so moved? And she goes, you mean the gay couple? And I went, what? She goes, yeah, the gay couple moved. And she was talking about somebody else on the other side who apparently there was a gay couple there. One of them has like a weird foot thing.
This is like you've got a 9-year-old Gladys Kravitz in the neighborhood, apparently. Like, keeping track about, well, I heard that after he sent his son to college, he started having prostitutes, like, killed in the basement.
Exactly.
But that's just what I heard.
She's like the bewitched neighbor, just looking out the window.
Exactly, yes.
So he has a foot thing where he can't walk, and they have a lot of stairs in this townhome, so that's why they moved. So she was telling me this whole story, and she's this awesome little kid. Her name is Daniela, and she's always she does keep us informed on what's happening on that little strip there, and we love her dog. She has a dog named Mango. Anyway, the long and the short of it is,
I'm just loving the whole color, right? Yeah. Like all of the extra little bits about this the story, like the dog named Mango.
Yeah, there's a dog named Mango. Her mother's from Brazil. Her dad is, I think, from Salesman Planet.
Okay,
that's.
Does she have a? Please tell me she's got, like, she sits in a room with binoculars all day long, like watching the neighborhood.
As far as I know, no. She's this,
nicknames for everybody. Oh, that's Mrs. Lonely Hearts over there. And
she's such a nice kid. She always brings like candy over, or she'll come over and say, my school is doing a fundraiser if you buy the most cookies. Burp, burp, burp. So we always buy those because, you know, we want to help her out or whatever. Anyway, long and the short, I think the electric car wiener head man may have moved, and that's a great feeling. There's cars there's cars parked there that were never there before, and we've not seen them in about a week. So we think the great thing has passed. You know,
right. I mean, you know, what do we call this? Like, it's all stemmed with Poopgate, didn't it? Like dog Poopgate.
Yeah, Nick putting a bag on their driveway. And then, well,
Dookie Gate.
Yeah, Dookie Gate. Exactly. The cops coming over, all that. You guys remember the story at home, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was a
hell
of a
thing. How much you told them versus how much you told me off the air.
Yeah, I can't remember if I. Yeah, you're right, because I was trying to not make it worse.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but I think people knew the cops came. It was such a dumb. That was about a year ago, in fact, by the way.
Wow.
One year ago, last. It may have been October. So just about a year ago is when that whole mess happened. And so since then, it's been pins and needles with them. And now I think they're gone. So happy are we think, until I see him. And then I'll go, damn it. But Daniela and her dog,
and
Mango.
Kate Mendoza with you.
Daniela and her dog, Mango. Daniela and Mango will keep an eye out for us and let us know.
Love it. Happens. It's like it's made for a cartoon. Daniela and Mango.
She's one of those kids. It's hard to explain, but you know when you meet somebody, especially somebody who's younger, who you can just tell they're going to be awesome when they grow up. They're just going to be so great. They're going to be positive, and they're going to accomplish goals they set for themselves, and you know they just want to help everybody. There are certain people you run into like that. That is Daniela. She is the sweetest kid, and she has an enormous future ahead of her, and she's a total sweetie. And she's way into Can't remember how I even found this out. She's way into, well, isn't her mom or something, but she's really into the, what's the name of the dragon and How to Train Your Dragon? Something one eye or pink eye or what was the name of that thing?
Oh, yeah.
Boogly eyes, googly eyes.
Shoot. The chat room will have this even before I can come up with it.
Smallville, chicken pea. What was the name of that damn thing? Maury.
Toothless. Thank you. Gamnislexi.
Yeah, he remembers Toothless, but he can't say his own name.
Gamnislexi. Yeah.
So while we were,
I just put my whole hand on the keyboard to come up with this name for my chat room.
Yeah. So while we were in California, Kim found a Toothless bracelet, and we brought that home and gave it to her. So yeah, we give her bracelets. She keeps
much,
us
much better than a braceless Toothless.
Yeah, there you go. And she keeps us informed on neighborly goings on. So works out great. Anyway, hey, we're back. I want to hear about the we'll play this mashup after this. I want to hear about the Emmy wrap up because you watch the Emmys and I don't, generally speaking. Right. Partly because I dropped PlayStation View for now.
How you would have been. Well, you get terrestrial though, right?
Yeah, but I don't have an antenna right now, and I don't. Oh. I just don't. Okay. I'm not into it.
Leaf, baby, $35, Amazon.
Plus, you know, I don't really like these award shows. And somebody, I know. Somebody on Twitter yesterday says, "Well, you sure liked it fine when Mad Max Fury Road was nominated." Well, yeah, I'm completely biased about Mad Max Fury Road. Duh, you're not telling me anything I don't know. Of course. I'm going to watch that.
But you have a horse in the race when you have a big, rusty geared horse in the race. Of course, you're going to pay attention.
And here's the parts I am into. I'm really into the TV shows that they're awarding, and I'm really into movies, and I'm really into wanting to know who won. What I'm not into is that 2.5 hour nightmare of sitting through the damn thing of people.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And I would say look online. I'm sure that Emmys has a YouTube channel. And they probably put some clips up there. Some things you really want to watch from the Emmys. Stephen Colbert's opening bit, always better on TV or something like that, was absolutely hilarious.
Can I make a guess and you tell me if I'm right or wrong?
Sure.
Was it a montage of scenes from popular television shows where he is somehow inserted into them?
Of course it is.
Okay, yeah. That, everyone does. That's the number one thing.
They did a great job with it. Okay. With his.
Yeah. All right. That's fine.
And it was really, really funny. Sean Spicer made a little cameo appearance. That was funny, but it's certainly it's blowing up way bigger than it actually was, both on the good side and the bad side of the.
Well, here's, you want to know my take on that? Because I was pretty pissed. Here's why I'm mad about it.
Okay.
There's no reason to be celebrating that guy. There's no reason to laugh at him. There's no reason to think he's funny.
Right.
There is only reason to ridicule some really stupid shit he said while he was press secretary. And he lied up there at the podium. I don't mean on your thing last night.
On the Emmys, of course.
Constantly lying about things.
Oh, yeah.
Like bald-faced, ridiculous lies the other night. The other night on, what was the, was it Kimmel?
Yes, when he was a guest on Kimmel.
Yeah,
he still
stands.
Stood behind the
those numbers the things. Size. It's so dumb. It's like it's like someone's going to kill him if he doesn't admit, if he admits otherwise. I can't stand it.
I think there's absolutely some fear. There, like, yeah, I think there was fear there in the, certainly when he was press secretary, I think there was some, I mean, there was a lot of fear there of like, do you think at any point Sean Spicer like said, well, I don't want to say this, but it's not true, but if I don't, I'm fired and I'm, you know,
oh, I guarantee it.
No backup plan. Or do you think he said, no, you know, I'm looking at those photos of the inauguration crowd size, and it actually looks like the biggest one.
No, he knows. He knows. I guarantee he knows.
Exactly. So there had to be some fear. Like, it basically, you don't get up there and lie unless there's some, there's something, some danger behind it.
Yeah. And I also, I just think pulling him out and going, ha, Sean Spicer, ha, oh, what a good, no, you're not a good sport. You're just a PUD. Go back. Do something else. Go do something else.
I thought it was funny. I thought Anna Chlumsky's reaction to that, what's her face from Veep? I can't remember her character name, but.
Is it Chlumsky?
Chlumsky.
Oh.
Anna Chlumsky.
Oh, the girl from My Girl.
From My Girl, right. And and more recently in Veep. The blonde, right. But,
as an adult. Thirty years later, Veep. Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a photo I'm surprised is not just blowing up on the internet as her reaction. But anyway. Mm. Anyway, Colbert was great. Anne Dowd, who you know from both The Leftovers and Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, right.
She's like, she was, what's his face's figment of imagination, figment of his imagination in Leftovers for that second season. And then
she's great.
And great in Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
You should look up her acceptance speech too, because it's touching and hilarious at the same time.
Okay. All right.
We could even play that on the show here while I'm talking about
it. Is it inadvertently hilarious? Or?
It is inadvertently hilarious.
Give me her name again.
Anne Dowd.
Dowd.
And look for Anne Dowd Emmy acceptance Emmy, or something
like
that.
Oh, it's already, while you're looking that up. It's already a Google autocomplete. Okay, go ahead. I'm looking it up.
All right, so as far as your big wins, SNL cleaned up almost every category they were nominated. They won, and Dave Chappelle won for his hosting appearance, and I think Melissa McCarthy won for her guest appearance. Alec Baldwin wins for his guest appearance. It was a really, really big night for SNL. And what people are calling the most relevant season of SNL, I say it was a B season. It wasn't their funniest season by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a good season. Handmaid's Tale, of course, cleaned up. Elizabeth Moss got best actress in a drama series. Stranger Things.
We shouldn't skip over that too quickly, because Handmaid's Tale, first in history, a streaming only drama took the best drama category. That's never happened.
Really? So House of Cards never got it?
It has. No, hold
it's
on.
It's been nominated. It's a bunch, been nominated. They never won?
Have they won before? It says here, Handmaid's Tale, first streaming drama to ever win best drama.
Yeah, so they've got, right, so cinematography, casting, you're right. They've guest actor, music, sound mixing, David Fincher for directing, but never... never outstanding drama series.
Yeah,
crazy.
See, that's crazy, right? Like that blew my mind. I also think it's quite deserved, although there's so much stuff. What's a guy got to do to get Fargo an award in this world? What do you got to do?
You got to put him, you got to have Fargo nominated in a year where there weren't a ton of other great shows. Because Fargo got snubbed, Westworld got snubbed, but they were up against things like Big Little Lies and The Night Of and Handmaid's Tale and Stranger Things and stuff like that. It was a dealer's choice. No, a dealer's choice. A rich pickings. I don't know what the word is I'm looking for here, but it's a year where if you are looking at all those nominees and saying to yourself, "Oh, I've never watched any of those," then you're doing it wrong. You need to be checking those out.
Yeah,
like everything left. It would have been nice to see Leftovers get nominations, but maybe they were out of the time period or something. Maybe they'll get a chance next year. But
yeah, I forget how that works, because sometimes they do carry over to the next one, right? Sometimes.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I know it seemed like People versus O.J. Simpson had like 3 years where they were eligible for Emmys, and I don't understand how that happened.
Same with, I felt like Breaking Bad did that, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it was,
I think,
like,
it's
way
of the whole
live
half season business, right? Yeah. Where they do
must be
season five and then season five and a half.
Leftovers deserves some freaking credit, that movie, that show. I mean, there's TV's so good right now, it's an embarrassingly good season for television, no matter how you look at it. All right, I found the Anne Dowd video. Should I play this?
Yes, please.
All right, now, she's great.
Yeah, keep in mind that she wins. Her name gets called. She's up against all these other people like Nicole Kidman and I can't remember everybody she was up against. But it's like a big group of people you really love. Mm-hmm. And her first thing is she stands up and just looks like somebody's whacked her in the back of the head with a 2x4, where she has no idea where she is. She just woke up. She has no idea why people are clapping and where she is. But she's standing up in the aisle. Okay.
All right. Here it is. Here we go. So these people come out, I guess they announce it.
Okay.
Oh, I started watching Atlanta, by the way.
Oh, good. That's funny. It's next on my list. I'm working on what I'm going to use as my recommendal this week.
That show blew me away.
Atlanta
I'm only 3 or 4 episodes in, but I didn't expect it to be so funny yet so poignant. That's a great show. Really
cool.
Good.
I can't wait for it. Yeah, now that it's on Hulu, it's like, all right, great. Because I was gonna have to buy the season on FX.
Watch the whole damn thing. All right, here we go. All right.
You look absolutely gorgeous.
Okay, shut up, Jeremy Piven. You're grossing me out. I'm skipping ahead. Jeremy Piven's being a pervert.
Oh yeah, he's hitting on Walking Dead, Star Trek Discovery woman.
Yeah.
And the Emmy goes to.
Here we go.
and Dowd, The Handmaid's Tale.
Look at her.
She's looking right there like, okay, well, what? I'm not going to go up or anything, right? That's, you know, that's not going to happen, right?
Woo! This is the first Emmy winning second nomination for Ann Dowd. She has made guest appearances in all four of Law & Order franchise.
What? She's like, everyone always thinks she's what's her name from
second season
right,
from Justified.
Yeah.
It was in the glass the whole time.
The glass, yeah. Raylan. The glass.
Hello, everyone. Well, I think this is a dream, you know. I know it's an actor's dream, and I'm deeply grateful to you.
Now pause for a sec.
Okay. I've been acting for...
Go ahead.
Okay. So it's clear that she was not expecting to win. Yeah. And it's clear she's not reading from like a little piece of paper that's been pulled out of her pocket or anything like this.
Yeah.
Now, from this point forward, listen to how beautiful and poetic and strange her acceptance speech is.
Okay. All right. Here we go. Let it wash over you, folks.
A long time, and that this should happen now, I don't have the words, so I thank you. The Handmaid's Tale. Margaret Atwood. Thank you, Margaret. Bruce Miller. Warren Littlefield, thank you. And Hulu, and they're very lovely, Hulu.
Hulu.
And MGM. Lizzie, you're here in the front row, I think. I love you, doll. My beautiful cast and all who were nominated. I wouldn't have a career if my manager, Marcia McManus, hadn't been in my life. She gave me a chance when I couldn't put two sentences together. And that was many years ago. Gary Gersh is my agent. He's very lovely and smart. I thank you. Innovative. You know, my husband is here and I love him so. He's Larry Arancio.
I love this.
And my children. I have some beautiful children and their names are Liam, Emily, and Trust, and I love them to pieces. Thank you so very much.
Oh, she's awesome.
She's like a dating profile. My husband, I do love him so.
Oh, I love him so. That's amazing. She's great. Yeah, freaking congratulations. She should have won. She is scary as shit in that show.
She is. And both in Handmaid's Tale and in Leftovers. And what's amazing is hearing her in her normal speaking voice and her normal delivery. It's like, wow, even more impressed with her acting ability, mm-hmm. because she seemed like she could easily be like those characters she played.
Oh, totally. Dude, totally. Yeah. I love it. I like to see people who later in life find their feet and their success. Like there's something about that that's always impressive to me. And she's great. So congratulations to her.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Any other big winners before we move on?
No, I mean, that's it. Night of. Got a lot of
No awards. Game of Thrones stuff going on?
No Game of Thrones. I think they were out of the time. Like the this is a year they didn't qualify.
Right, because that just ended. So probably, that makes sense.
Yeah. Big Little Lies got a bunch of awards. So like I said, Stranger Things, Handmaid's Tale, SNL.
Did Riz Ahmed win for Night of, the Night of?
No.
Okay. He's great. I wish he would have won. I like him.
Yeah, he was. Who did win that category?
I don't know.
Shoot.
Some other Star Wars actor. He's good. Right? He's great in Rogue One. Liked him in that a lot.
Let's see.
He's just a really compelling dude. I like that guy a lot.
Let's see here. Sorry, just pulling up.
Larry Davidson, Jim Bob McCree.
That's right. Uh huh.
Cheryl Teagues.
Cheryl Teagues won. Yes,
yeah,
of course.
She finally, Cheryl Teagues gets her due.
Oh, Riz Ahmed did win, says Free Rangers. Okay, that was... I thought... now, see, this was the point that I moved over to Raid.
Yeah.
And then just got the updates on my iPad as everybody won. So,
yeah.
There we go. Okay, Riz Ahmed, according to Free Rangers, Riz Ahmed did win.
Oh, good.
Win,
he does. He deserves it. That was an incredible role, a transformative role, I thought, for him.
Good.
Great,
good.
Well, great show.
And of the ones, of the big win shows, that's the only one I actually haven't watched. So.
Oh, you should watch it.
Yeah, yeah. It's again, it is...
just for the John Turturro performance. It's amazing.
So yeah, good. For sure.
His foot.
Oh, yeah. Julia Louis-Dreyfus won again for Veep.
Yeah, they should just have that in reserve for her name on it and just say, here we go.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, just keep taking it to her.
And then Veep won Best Comedy Series. Donald Glover won for Atlanta, Best Actor in Comedy Series. Best Supporting Actress Kate McKinnon for SNL. Directing, Donald Glover again. Best Writing was Master of None, Aziz Ansari and Lena Waithe. Handmaid's Tale for Best Drama, and Elizabeth Moss for Best Actress in Drama. Sterling Brown from This Is Us for Best Actor in a Drama Series. And Dowd, who you just heard. John Lithgow for The Crown.
Oh, that's right. Actor. That's right. He was so good as Churchill. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was, you know, tough seeing him beat Jeffrey Wright from Westworld. Oh, that was another really good bit, by the way, to look for is Stephen Colbert's Westworld bit.
Yeah, I saw some clip of that on CNN or something.
Okay.
Or not a clip, but a still image, so I could tell. And that's when I realized, oh, this is one of those where he travels into the other show, into people's shows and stuff.
Right, of course, yeah. And I'm looking for, because like Best Supporting Actor in a Drama Series, no? It was the one that, let's see here, David Thewlis was up for. It was Best Supporting Actor in a Limited Series or Television Movie. And you had like Alfred Molina from Feud, and you had Stanley Tucci from Feud, and you had Bill Camp and from The Night Of, Michael K. Williams from The Night Of, Skarsgård from Big Little Lies, but you had David Thewlis from Fargo. And I thought, all right, if there's any category that Fargo needs to take, it's David Thewlis.
And he didn't get it? Who got it?
He didn't get it. Skarsgård did. For being a dick on Big Little Lies.
He is a dick.
He is a dick.
All right. That's fine. I mean, not that, you know, Vargas was definitely a dick.
But, yeah.
But he was the best acted dick of the year, in my opinion.
I think so. That needs to be a new category.
Yeah. Best dick. Best dick of the year.
Dick of the year.
All right. Well, there you go. It's the Emmys, everybody. Your show's celebrated for their prowess and their capabilities.
That's right. And there was another moment, really a short one in the monologue, in Colbert's monologue, where he said, ah, yes, this is a night where we celebrate us.
Yeah, basically.
And he's kind of pointing out the thing you hate most about it is his point.
Yeah, which I like. I like that. And I like Colbert, so I bet I would have liked his hosting just fine. I'm sure that wasn't he seems like he would fit this role perfectly.
That's right.
As host of the Emmys or Oscars or anything else, he could just do all the award shows. That'd be fine. All right. Well, on that note, I'm going to play a mashup sent to us by a friend of the show, Jamie.
Yay!
Who's now made two of these in a row. And this one's pretty great. It's, under 2 minutes, and I thought you guys might like it. So here's Brian and I in previous incarnations of the show you're listening to now.
All oozy drippy out the bottom.
And you don't want to ever be oozy drippy out of the bottom.
My left hand.
Hey, drink this.
Well, my screen just went weird. There we go.
You have farted in front of us. You have no honor.
Your farts.
Your
no
butt
honor.
Went kapla.
Oh, man.
Oh, so you quick like to some stepmom porn. Really?
Yes. Yeah, sensitivity in the rear. That's right. I am sci-fi.
Tillamook has been producing cheddar in there.
I like DC. We're not friends anymore.
What? No, that's it. I'm quitting. I'm quitting the show. Goodbye.
F you, Brian.
You won't believe the products. We're going to show you the products.
Hey, we got to go to lunch. Brian told me about this place. Oh, I'm already uptown with Carter. We're doing a thing for a school. Or in Taiwanese dong.
10,000 dong.
10,000 dongs. That's a bad movie. Don't rent it. Ranging from the classic beef. Father Beef Noodle. Father Beef Noodle.
Father Beef Noodle.
The Beef Father.
The Beef Father.
I'm going to come to you with a request for some brisket.
I only ask this favor.
I'm going to make you a ramen you can't refuse.
Nobody knows ramen like I do, believe me.
Father Beef Noodle would be a great name for a priest, wouldn't it?
Father Beef Noodle. I'm going to confession. Father Beef Noodle.
I must confess. I've made fun of your name everywhere
it's been,
I go.
Five bouillon since my last confession.
Sex trafficking donkeys. I don't know. He did the measurement right there on stage and said how big it was.
Ate me. Smooth as baby's butt. Super retina OLED. I'm a big person. I have big pockets. I put a big phone in my big pocket, my big pants.
I'd like a sandwich. Here's your newspaper.
I would call that a grassy pubic space.
Look at my baguette.
Oh, this is a weird baguette.
We're no strangers to poop. You wash your hands, and so do I.
A Toto auto wash that scrubs your taint and then also plays Never Gonna Give You Up.
Dear Lord, Freakish Lemon, we have your replacement. Give him your desk and take your things and get out!
No, Freakish Lemon. You've got too big a rind to fill, but we love this. in a completely different way and equally as much.
Sure. Yes. Brian is the very nice one. I'm going to say, right. I completely agree. I just haven't heard from Freakish in a long time. I don't know where he's at. I know. Somewhere.
Busy. Yeah, he's busy, you know, doing his thing.
Doing Freaky Lemon things. I get it.
Oh my God, that's great. Yeah, that was awesome.
That was really good. Well done. Let's bring things to a halt. Bye.
That's the most flattering way to introduce our next guest.
That's right. We're going to bring in the one, the only, the Brian Dunaway and do that. So hold on to your butts. It's happening now. Or is it? It is. It's Brian Dunaway on the phone. Hello, Brian Dunaway.
Hey, Scott, checking my audio level.
You sound real good.
Is it better? Can I yell now?
Yeah, you can talk normal. You're totally fine. Yeah. You sound as good. You sounded great this weekend on Boop Show, by the way, and Film Sack, for that matter. Yeah, you sounded real good. I don't know what happened there. The
internet after like a million bucks.
Yeah.
Right. After my shaming last week, I had to do something.
Yeah, you were loud last week.
Did you get shamed?
Well, he just did that really loud deal.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, can I tell you, by the way, that this segment is brought to you by some guy in the Bugman. They're two memes whose wives told them they should start recording their conversations. Now those two dinguses have a podcast. They discuss the questions that deserve answers, like, can waterbenders also bend earwax? What are zoos about? Ooh. We answer these puzzlements and more in around 10 minutes every Dies Lunae. Subscribe to Some Guy in the Bugman, Figure Things Out to get woke today.
What are zoos about?
That is again, I love the fact that they do, they just change six words or whatever in there, and it's fantastic.
It's really good. Also, I want to know what zoos are about, because I thought they were about displaying animals.
What are zoos about?
What's the deal with zoos?
Keeping the lions down.
That's right. That's exactly right. Hey, so let's do this. It's stump you time. That means we're going to pull somebody in here and do a little fun thing. Brian will explain it in a second, but I got to get a name. Oh, I probably should log in. Hold on. Here we go. Okay. Oh, we have a load of people in here already. Let's see who we can get randomly. I'm going to just pull one of these names, and it will randomly be... Oh, it's a friend of the program, Cowboy, a.k.a. JJ Valentine. Hello, JJ. He's muted. You're muted. You're muted, sir. Sir, you're muted. Let me double check and make sure it isn't
JJ.
Mean. Yeah, JJ is muted. I am not muted. I have not muted him, it looks like. Looks like it is on his end. Okay, no answer.
Well, dynamite.
JJ. Okay, we're going to pull. Sorry, JJ. We're going to pull in Kavok. Kavok.
Help. It's happening.
It's happening. Kavok is here. Hello, Kavok.
Hello. How are you doing?
Am I saying it right? Kavok?
That's a Star Trek name
and then
I've ever
K
heard.
At the end, it's fine.
Cave okay. All right. What'd you say, Dunaway? Say that again.
I said that's a Star Trek sounding name. Oh, Kavok.
Big time.
Yeah. Kaplok.
Yeah.
Kavok.
You have
also a Tanagra, but you don't hear about him.
No. When the walls fell, I remember that. Hey, let's dive right in. Brian's going to explain to you these here rules and how we play. Brian, how's it work?
That's right. Kavok. We're going to be asking Brian Dunaway a trivia question here in just a moment. The answer to that trivia question is a number. Brian is going to do his absolute best, but he's going to fall a little bit short. Then we're going to turn to you and ask you if the correct answer is higher or lower than Dunaway's guess. If you are correct today, you win the prize package from last week, the carryover, which is this really bitchin' alien-looking magnet, this cool Jules Verne 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea t-shirt, and we're adding to the prize package today a Japanese blind box toy from Kid Robot, as well as, this is kind of cool, it's a luggage tag that looks like a floppy disk.
Oh, very nice. It's a full-size one.
Yeah, so it is like a full-size 3.5-inch floppy disk. And yeah.
Are you sure it just looks like it? Are you sure you put it into a floppy drive?
Yeah,
you wouldn't want to. It's rubbery, so it'll break your Dell 2300 if you were to shove it into the front of that thing.
Do any of us
prizes are because I won last time?
Yeah, right?
You lost. Oh,
yeah. Well, not you won, but you meaning he got the caller lost is what he means.
If caller lost.
Yeah,
well, yeah, you're not competing against the caller, Brian. If that's really what you think we're doing here,
yes,
then,
that's what I'm doing here.
Then you've been misled.
Brian,
I'm trying to keep all the... I thought we was trying to hold on to the goodies.
Yeah.
I thought that was the idea.
No, you know, you want them to win the goodies.
We want you to be a very impartial. You should be neither helping nor hindering.
Yeah. You neither player. Take plums nor leave plums. Remember that.
Interesting. Right, exactly. I've got to rethink things.
Yeah.
You got to change your strategy.
It's only taken a couple of months. All right.
The category for this game is Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. All right. Ooh. I heard of that. That's a thing. It's on. It's a TV show and a book series. So,
there's one Iron Throne and everybody wants it.
You win. No, that is not the question.
Everybody wants it.
Here is your question. Game of Thrones recently wrapped its 7th season. Don't worry, no spoilers. How many total episodes of Game of Thrones have there been so far? This is in total for the entire series since 2011, its debut year. So, again, that's all the Game of Thrones episodes, including this recent season 7. How many of those are there?
Well, I could probably do a pretty good... Are you going to give me a range or I got
to
just guess?
I'm going to tell you this hint. I will say to you, it's cable, so therefore act accordingly. You know what I mean?
Less than 10,000.
Yeah.
No. Right. Okay, so this is going to be fairly... I don't know. Let's see. So each Game of Thrones season is between 6 to 10... Maybe 11 episodes most seasons at most.
Mm-hmm.
They've done 7. I'm going to calculate and say.
I can hear the calculations happening.
Yeah, you hear that?
I'm going to say there is going to be between. I'm going to go with 58.
58 is your answer. 58. Brian Ibbett, is 58 the correct answer?
58 is incorrect. Oh. Cabo K, is the correct answer higher or lower than 58?
It is higher.
Oh, look at how quickly you answered that with such confidence.
You seem certain.
Yeah, you seem very certain. Well, let's find out from the judges.
I did maths.
Oh, you did maths. All right. Let's see if your expert math has gotten you to be a winner today. Is it higher?
Congratulations.
It is totally higher.
You're a winner.
That is absolutely correct. The answer is 67 total episodes.
So I had the exact number. Yeah. Fantastic.
Brian would have been short, or he would have been almost there had we only had 6 seasons. He would have just about nailed it. But 7 more episodes or so is all we have this season, right? 7 of them? 8? What was it?
Eight, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right. It's not that many episodes. If you think about other long-running shows that are in their 7th and 8th season, back in the day, they'd be like 24 episodes per season. We'd be in the, I don't know, how much is that? What is that? Every 4 years, you're at 100. So you're
right, because it's 23. Yeah, exactly.
You'd be almost 200 episodes of Game of Thrones if this was the 70s or 80s. Think of that.
If
that's
only
crazy.
There wasn't a thing called a budget and hackers.
Yeah. And cable and the British idea. The British have been great about that. They're like, you know what? We're doing 6 episodes of a thing. F off. And that's how they do it. And now that's what we do. Well done,
and
America.
That's a season.
That's there a season.
Yeah,
done.
I don't like it.
I know you don't. You want more. That's why I feel
I want more. Who doesn't want more?
I want 10 to 12. That's my standard. If it's
wasn't Sherlock like 3 episodes that first season
but
or something crazy?
They were 2 hours long, so.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And there's 6 of those now.
They're like
right?
little movies.
Yeah, there's like 6 or 9 total, whatever there is now. 9, I think. I think they've done 3 sets now of 3.
Yeah, there's 9.
Yeah.
3, yes. Three episode seasons.
So, but that's all, also a very British thing to do. We just tend to be, or at least historically, Americans were like, you know what, 24, we're doing it. Let's go all year. And then they end up having all these filler terrible episodes. That's how you get your Nickies and your Paolos and your X-Files episodes where they're playing VR and stuff. Like,
oh, Nikki and Paolo. Yep. Yes.
So this shrinking down to 12 or so is smart because you just have tighter stories and better arcs and
Was it like season 4 and 5 where they were splitting them in half too? Like it's like good luck. Here's half a season. Mm-hmm. We'll see you in January.
Well, wasn't one of them because of the writer's strike that year or something? I can't remember. Seems like Lost suffered from a writer's
Lost
strike.
Lost did.
Problem.
Yeah, Lost definitely did. They had two 16 episode seasons. I want to say 4 and 5, maybe.
Yeah. I will say 8 is too few. Like this latest Game of Thrones thing felt like they had to hurry. And as much as I enjoyed it, I didn't like the sense of hurrying. They also seemed to be able to teleport anywhere they wanted to go, which kind of was annoying. But
they
anyway,
finally learned fast travel.
Exactly. They all learned fast travel. They had a mage on the team. They just
the new Westerosa Interstate, which has an HOV lane just if you got 2 people and a dragon.
Yeah. Can I get a portal to Red Keep? Okay, thanks. Well done. Congratulations. Send Brian an email, coverville@gmail.com, and he will send you your winnings. Brian Dunaway, well
big
done.
Big prize package, too.
Yeah, big package. Yeah, Brian Ibbett's got a big package. Dunaway, anything else you'd like to talk about today before we send you off to the wolves of your daily routine?
Sure. Hey, are we still going to play some duck game tonight?
Yeah, so I got to tell you about that. I forgot.
Sounds like a no to me.
No, here's what happened.
I gotta go.
It's a reasonable story. So we were supposed to play that for today's 4 o'clock thing. Maybe what we'll do is just do it after, or I don't know, we'll figure it out. But I forgot that Tom and Schwood invited me to be on Chord Killers, and it runs right into that tonight.
Oh, geez, so go do that.
My goof. So what I'm thinking is we'll either do it after that, or we'll switch it to a different day, like Tuesday or something.
And that reminds me, you and I also have something else going on tonight.
Oh, shit, that's tonight.
Hey, Ibbett, you want to play a duck game with me?
Frick. Well, we'll work it out. We'll figure it out. I don't know what's happened. I forgot how overscheduled I am. Is that tonight really the movie draft is tonight?
That's tonight, the movie draft. Yeah, the winter movie draft is tonight.
What time is that? 8 our time or something?
That's a really good question.
And then it goes till midnight or 1 a.m.?
I'm looking it up right now. Yeah, I know, exactly.
No, I'll tell you how long it goes for me. Until it's done, and then I'm out.
9 p.m. Eastern, so 7 p.m. for us.
Okay, 7 p.m. So...
So tune in at 6 for Brian playing Duck Game by himself.
We'll work it out. I'll be in touch, because I want to play. We had this plan. It was all planned out, and then things got weird. It's Brian Dunaway, everybody. Find him at TheBrianDunaway on Twitter. BrianDunaway.com also has links to all sorts of shit, and he's great. Talk to you later. Bye. Okay, he's out.
He's great,
and he's got the whole world on a plate.
The great and powerful Dunaway is what I like to call him.
I think you're right to be calling him that. What are we doing now? I don't even know. Oh, I know. How about news? Time for the news, brought to you by...
Do you like playing games, but have to deal with the whole being a responsible adult thing? Then listen to Part-Time Gamers, the gaming podcast for people with full-time lives. Every other week, Cyrenex, Gristle, and 9 of 12 of the Geek Grills podcast review a game that can be played on a busy schedule. And on the other weeks, we play some games and post them to YouTube so you can laugh at how bad we play them. During September, if we get 5 new patrons at patreon.com/parttimegamers, Cyrenex will live stream Alien Isolation Midnight on Halloween. If you want to see a grown man scream and nearly pee himself, join our Patreon. You can find the show on YouTube, iTunes, and at caffeineinducedproductions.com.
Sounds all right. So, here's the deal.
Yes.
We started the stories today with a guest host on CNN who said the two things he believes in are the First Amendment and boobs.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
he was a commentator guy. CNN host Brooke Baldwin. Baldwin could not believe what she was hearing. She said the following: "Hold on, I just want to make sure I heard you correctly. As a woman anchoring this show, what did you say? You believe in the First Amendment and boobs?" Or she put BOOBS. Why'd you say boobs?
I know.
Just say boobs. Boobs is not a dirty
CNN.
Word.
Yeah. Fake boobs.
Yeah, fake boobs. Clay Travis, that's not Davis at all, who identifies as a Southern white conservative. Great. That's not doing you guys any favors when people like that come and represent you, because I don't think you're all like that. Anyway, clarified that, yes, she had heard him correctly. Boobs, he said. Two things I have never let me down in this entire country's history: the First Amendment and boobs. So those are the only two things I believe absolutely in the country.
Now, he wasn't actually referring to breasts. He was referring to fellow Southern white conservatives.
Oh, is that what he was doing?
No. I'm kidding.
Send your emails to coverville@gmail.com. Let's see if there's video of this. There probably is.
Okay.
This is on Vox. Nope, there's not. Is there? Maybe there is. Nope, there's not. Oh, there is. Here we go. Let's play this here. Okay.
I'm a First Amendment absolutist. I believe in only two things completely: the First Amendment and boobs. And so once they made the decision that they were not going to allow
you believe in the First Amendment and
related commentary, they
I just want to make sure I heard you correctly as a woman anchoring the show. What did you say? You believe in the First Amendment and BOOBS?
Boobs. Two things that have only never let me run down in this entire country.
And the other guy on the left is just staring like, what am I in? Why am I here?
The First Amendment and boobs.
I feel like they're getting trolled. Trolled by that guy. So that's what happened, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny, though.
Two things that never let me down. Really, I guess it would be three things. First Amendment being one of those things.
Yeah, and then the left boob.
And then boobs being two of those things.
Then that right boob.
Someday I'll get to touch one.
I'm real excited about it. Anyway, there's that guy. Hey, I'm so excited about this. Because on this show, I feel like it's been a hallmark of the show. Whenever somebody's got an end times or end of world scenario, we like to talk about it on the show, track it, see how it went. So far, it hasn't gone well for the people who say
we don't have that. William Tapping to kick around anymore.
No. What was his name? William Tapping? What was it?
Tapping? Camping?
Camping.
Harold Camping?
Harold Camping.
Harold Camping. Wait. Who's William Tapping? I'm thinking of Tapley. I'm combining my tapping and my camping.
Here's who you're thinking of.
No interviews.
Yes, that's Harold Camping. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
William Tapley.
Yeah. Two different guys. But anyway.
Two different guys, yes.
One's dead, but the other one is not talking about this as far as I know. But biblical prophecy claims the world will end on September 23rd. What day is that next week?
Saturday.
Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the 23rd?
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
This coming Saturday.
It says the world will end then, according to Christian numerologists.
No, you're right. Neurologists. Okay.
Numerologists. A Christian numerologist claims world will end Saturday. Oh, it is Saturday. When the planet will supposedly collide with Earth, or a planet. According to Christian numerologist David Mead, verses in Luke 21:25-26 are the sign that that recent events, such as the recent solar eclipse and Hurricane Harvey, are signs of the apocalypse. Guys, do they not know that the eclipse happens all the time? It just depends on where you're at.
I should have sacrificed a goat. Now there's a planet that's going to crash into us. Apparently a planet that's been hiding behind the moon, waiting for its time to strike.
Biding its time. Great.
That's right.
Nobody likes that.
Just waiting till nobody's looking. And then I'm going to jump out and attack the Earth.
I'm going to give you those verses. Looks like these are in like a New World non-King James version of the Bible, but I'll read it. Okay. There will be signs in the sun, moons, and stars on the earth.
We have those.
Yeah, okay, we have those for sure. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. Oh, hurricanes.
So there'll be waves. Okay, good.
There'll be waves. People will faint from terror. I saw it. I didn't faint.
I forgot to mention.
Oh, quick. What's your deal? What's your take?
I enjoyed it greatly. You pretty much summed it up last week when you talked about it. It combines all those things that you describe. Mm-hmm. Lost Boys, Stranger Things, and then a dose of Stephen King. But a lot, man, watching that, and especially some of the jump scares and things like that, a lot of jump scares. I couldn't hold Tina's hand throughout the movie because she kept breaking my fingers.
Well, there are moments, for sure, yeah.
But holy cow, I can't even imagine kids, you know, young kids watching it.
Yeah,
so
do you see
I don't want to sit you off on your...
I know, but you get my point now, right? You see
totally.
Where I'm coming from.
Oh, totally, yes. Yeah. It's an R-rated movie. You don't bring kids to an R-rated movie. That's the...
kind of the point. That's why we have the ratings. Point. There is a general guideline. Oh, see, I'm doing it again, aren't I? I'm doing it.
Yeah. Never mind. Okay, back to the Armageddon.
It says here, people will faint from terror, apprehensive of what's coming into the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Men's hearts will fail... men's hearts failing them for fear, and looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. According to this guy, that means September 23rd is the date that was pinpointed in the Bible using codes, as well as a date marker in the pyramids of Giza. He's sure of it. So next week, just in case there's no Monday show because the world ends the Saturday before, we'll have some fun lead up by Thursday this week about, you know, what are we going to do if the world ends? What would you do at home if the world ends? And do you really think it's going to happen this time? Probably not.
I'll get to enjoy my iPhone for one day before the world ends. So I'm not even going to worry about sending my old one back to AT&T for my credit. I'm just going to keep it because world's ending. I'm going to send them a little note, a little email. Hey, world's ending. Keeping my iPhone. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry, guys. So let me ask you a question about that. I ordered mine on the app.
Good. Smart man. I wish I would have done that.
And it's going to be here. And it charged me 120 bucks because I still
you pay
have
the tax.
Month. Yeah, tax plus I still have like a month or something on the other contract or whatever. I don't know how that works exactly. But anyway, do I have to go take mine in? Like, how do I do that?
They are going to send you a box, I believe, that you put your other one in and you, in like with a self-addressed stamped box to put your existing iPhone in, I believe.
Okay.
Information should come to you. And it's funny, you've got 14 days, so hopefully you get your new iPhone within those 2 weeks, right?
Well, it says...
the timer, you'd think the timer would start when you receive your new phone and give you 2 weeks to, like, move everything over and make sure it's all working and stuff.
Oh, when does it start?
It started, I think, when you made the purchase.
Oh. Well, that's weird. Because then it means I have to rely on them and making sure to ship it on time.
Exactly. That's what I... That's the way I took it. When I was surprised when I reread the email, like... let's see here. Where does it say this?
Sort of new to this whole
payment.
This whole leasing thing is new for me, so I don't know if I'm doing it right.
I know. It's here's an update on your order. Blah blah blah.
They say anything about time?
No.
All right. Well, I won't
expected
worry about it.
Delivery date. Yeah.
I have to figure. Yeah, I can't. I won't be screwed. It'll be fine.
You should be totally fine.
Anyway, it's coming, so we'll see how it goes next week. And then the world will end, so that'll be great.
Then the world will end, so again, you don't have to worry about don't worry about it. You're set. You don't have to send the old one back. The world's ending.
That's right. A court asks if a donkey is at fault for mistaking an orange sports car for a carrot. You heard me right, folks. A court case has been in session in how would you say that? What's that weird letter there?
Oh.
Gieben. This week, after
I don't know if that's pronounced like an S or a B. That's that weird German hybrid letter.
Yeah, what do you call that? That's like a, I don't know what that is. It must be German. Yeah. Is it? Yeah, it's German because it's .de. Anyway, this week after an unusual display, dispute, a hungry donkey, a bright orange McLaren sports car, and thousands of euros in damage. On September 15th last year, Marcus Zahn parked his 300,000 euro car. Bright orange McLaren 650S Spider is the name of that car, in a car park, bordering a paddock in the state of Hesse. Is that a real name?
I think just Hesse.
Okay, because that E's silent, probably.
I think so. I'm not sure. German's one language that I just can't phonetically put together.
Oh, try the Finnish, and then you'll really
scratch your head.
People, man, I don't know what they're doing. That's gibberish over there. Anyway, to his misfortune, a donkey by the name of Fittus, I don't know which, who was grazing in the paddock at the time, decided to take a bite out of the car. Police speculated at the time he had mistaken the garish video for a vehicle for a carrot.
Oh, it is Hesse, by the way.
Oh, it is Hesse?
Hesse.
All right.
Not Hesse.
After dropping off his health card, Zahn returned to his car but was surprised to see a puffy pair of ears in his rear wing mirror. The 49-year-old entrepreneur then heard a strange sound, which turned out to be Fittus attempting to take a large bite out of the rear fender, causing 30,000 euros in damage.
Wow.
Now they're trying to determine whether or not you can actually say legally that because he thought it was a edible thing because it was bright orange, if you can get away with getting all your money back to pay for it.
You've eaten my card, you donkey!
What have you done? Final story. Lady bought toilet paper at a Walmart, and then a 2-foot snake was in there. That's pretty good. Imagine you're
hiding in the tubes, lined up tubes. That'd be fantastic.
Well, she didn't say. Well, I don't know if she says that for sure, but let's find out. Imagine you're the type of person who despises snakes with an Indiana Jones level of hatred. Okay, just imagine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like snakes, Jock. I hate them. He says.
That's right.
Imagine.
Oh, that's just Bieber. He's harmless.
It's Bieber.
I can't remember his name.
Bieber the snake. I think it's it's my pet snake, Reggie. I think it's Reggie.
Reggie. That's it, Reggie. Very good.
I remember the ADR from that for some reason because it didn't match.
Never be able to hear each other over that propeller. Yeah. No way.
I also remember when Indiana Jones runs and all the natives didn't know it. And the French guy goes, like that with his
belt.
And they all ran after that. I always remember that.
Yeah, that's the international symbol for go get him.
Yeah, get the hell out of here, you guys.
Get him, daddy.
Oh, my gosh. I made my kids watch that. They were dying.
Now the dog's pissing on the floor.
So here's what she did. She bought a bunch of crap there, including a 12-roll bundle of toilet paper. Imagine you return to your house with 2-year-old granddaughter is napping, an older dog named Luke, and a young cat named Maxwell are just chilling upstairs. Finally, imagine that when you get that toilet paper bundle, inside a live, black, 2-foot-long snake slithers out of the packaging.
Well, why do they have to bring up the fact that it's black?
I don't know. It's racist, right? You'd freak out, right? Says this article. Yeah. Well, that's exactly what happened to Lisa Gallo. She did it earlier this week in Marlton, New Jersey, around 2 p.m. She returned home from then and opened up the damn thing. And sure enough, there was a snake. She was, OMG, it's a snake, I yelled. She recalled, I never had the snake in the house before, but this thing was just sitting there. When I reached over to open the door, it stuck its tongue out and hissed at me.
Ooh.
We don't know what kind of snake it was. Or
no, but 2 feet long really isn't that, you know, I mean.
It's like that. Right? Like that.
Yeah.
It's not that big a snake.
No.
My snake's like 3.5 feet or four, almost 4 feet now.
Ice worm?
My real snake. My living, my ball python. It's not getting any better.
Do I need to switch instead of saying ice worm now? Do I need to switch and go, Jamie?
Jamie. Yeah, Jamie may want to pick that one up.
Yeah.
I don't think ice worm's capturing these anymore.
No,
we keep saying it, but he's just not doing it.
Yeah.
I know he's listening because he always tells me, but he's not.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, he's just tired. He's tired. Give the guy a break. Speaking of breaks, we're going to take one, and we're going to come back here in a minute. So normally Brian's got some song all lined up, and it's some indie in the middle. Well, guess what? Today, I'm going to do it because even though we both know him, the indie in the middle today in question is Eric Van Skyhawk, or as he goes by with his music, Skyhawk. Now, some of you are like, well, wait a minute. What? Eric, he did Dap Slappy with you, and he works as an advertising exec, and he's not, what, music, what? No, no, no. He does music, and he does a cool electronica, and I've always really liked it. In fact, whenever you hear this on the show, right here, or you hear this one, both of those are arrangements by Eric Van Skyhawk. He also does this for us, which I can't find. Oh, this right here. This App Slappy theme, which is one of my favorite things ever. So he knows his stuff. He's been making this stuff for a long time. He has an old song called 200 he did for the 200th episode of Extra Life Radio back in the day that featured vocals from Veronica Belmont, and then his music. It was still one of my favorite things ever. His first album was called Function. It was awesome. He's working on a second album, and he has the first single out now. I don't know if you can go buy it yet. I don't know if this is like a sneak peek for us or if you can go get it. Mm. But if you search for Skyhawk in any of your music streaming services or any of that stuff, he'll come up and you'll see his music. This features Assemblage 23 and Thix. It is called Blind Attack.
Mm. This is available on Amazon. I'm looking right now and you can buy this.
Oh, good, good, good. That makes me happy to hear that. It is. Oh, I need to drag it over. I'm doing this all wrong because normally it's not me talking right now. There we go. Cool. I'm going to play it now. It is a really cool song. You guys should check it out and go support him and get more because Eric makes really good music. It's Skyhawk and Blind Attack.
Have a place in this world.
Now all I can see is chaos and confusion and panic.
Tell you what I could go for right now. Right now, could go for an RX bar. I want to thank them for sponsoring today's program. They're a whole food protein bar made with 100% whole ingredients and no BS, such as added sugar, artificial colors, artificial flavors, preservatives, fillers, any of that stuff. Made with 100% whole ingredients. They're gluten-free, soy-free, dairy-free, no added sugar. That sounds really good to me. By the way, they instead of like the kind of stuff you get in all the artificial stuff, you get egg whites as the main source of its protein. Which, you know, all our bodies are pretty good at absorbing. They come in 11 different flavors. There are 11 flavors you can get. It's a nice reference for some of you old listeners. Anyway, whether you like it sweet or savory, chocolate or fruit flavors, there's something in there for you. It's like a great little breakfast on the go. Snack at the office. Put it in your bag and take it on the plane. Maybe pre or post workout. Put it in your backpack and take it to school or on a bike ride. Whatever you want to do. I love them. I always say this, but I'll say it again. Anything that has blueberry in it, sign me up. And I found a few that did, and they were great. Here's what we want you to do to save some money and try these out. Get 25% off your first order at rxbar.com/TMS and use the promo code TMS. That's rxbar.com/TMS and the promo code TMS. You will not disappoint.
Taurus. Now there's an American car with the shape and the feel we've never seen before.
For all of us who demand excellence in design and function, for all of us who will not compromise, Ford listened. Ford created Taurus for us.
For us!
The Morning Stream.
Whoops.
Light.
Sorry here.
The Morning Stream. Lights, camera, Kong.
right, we're back, everybody. We're back. That was cool. Well
done,
Eric.
That was really, really cool. Awesome hearing, like, full-on vocals in a Skyhawk song.
Yeah, very different. Also, kind of reminiscent of, like, I don't know, new wavy 80s kind of stuff.
Depeche Mode, you know, like, early few albums of Depeche Mode. Somebody mentioned Front 242 in the chat room.
Yeah, really cool.
Yeah, totally.
Very industrial. I dig it. I can't wait for more of it. We'll play more on the show as we get it. Good job, Eric. Well done. All right. It's time for major spoilers. Oh, by the way, you may be going, wait, where's Daryl today? And the answer is he'll be here tomorrow because he had a meeting today and it wasn't going to work with shifting things around. So we're going to do it tomorrow.
He's in a meeting.
He's meeting with somebody. We'll do it early tomorrow.
Get to my office right now.
Get your ass in here. Tomorrow we'll do it in the morning before, early before we do news and stuff so we can get it in this week because much anticipation ahead of the Star Trek Discovery.
Your phaser's writing checks that your communicator can't cash.
There you go. When is that anyway?
Sunday.
Sunday. This Sunday? Wow.
This coming Sunday, I believe, is the CBS debut, and then it moves over to All Access.
All right. So you get it on your regular channel there.
Oh, you know what else? I don't know. We'll find out tomorrow with Daryl.
That's right. We will find out tomorrow with Daryl.
Yeah,
all right.
September 24th. So, yep. Oh, darn it. We're going to miss it because the world's going to end before they can air it.
Oh, no Discovery because the world will be over. Oh, it's too bad.
Dang it.
We'll collide. We won't even know. It'll hit so hard, that planet.
That's right.
Let me tell you, if a planet collides with us, which, by the way, seems like, I don't know, astrologists and people would probably see by now, or astronomers.
Astronomers,
not astrologists. Forget about them.
The moon is in the seventh house of Sagittarius, so a big planet must be coming to hit us.
Ladies and germs, welcome to the program. The one, the only, the Steven Schleicher. Hello, Steven.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Major Spoilers.
It's good to have you here. MajorSpoilers.com's own Steven Schleicher comes on the show on Mondays, talks about stuff going on in comics, movies, TV, pop culture, whatever it is. We have an appetite for it. And today's no different. In fact, you got a little Star Trek news of your own, although it's not tied to the TV show. What is it?
No, not necessarily tied to the TV show. Many of you may remember that just a few months ago, Modiphius Entertainment released the Star Trek Adventures RPG game from Modiphius. And so if you are a D20 person that loves to role play and you wish you could move away from wizards and thieves and bards, well, now you can play in the future in part of the either the original series or the Next Generation crew. Now, what has just come out is the first Star Trek Adventures RPG mission. So this is a book of missions that you can send your party on, away missions, missions in space, whatever they may be. But there are 8 ready-to-play missions in this game system. It's available now in PDF format. You can get either directly from Modiphius Entertainment or DriveThruRPG or any of those other sites. If you prefer a hard copy, that arrives in October.
It's like 8 ready-to-play missions using the
8 ready-to-play missions.
And the 2D20 game system has taken on all kinds of speed lately, I've noticed. I see it in a lot of stuff. And now we're starting to see it in bigger licensed names and products and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your D&D system, which is, you know, D&D. Then you got your Pathfinder deal. Which
Pathfinder,
people apply Pathfinder to all kinds of settings, so it's similar to this. But the 2D20 seems like the system on the rise because it is literally like a template for whatever scenario you want to put there.
Yeah, and it's open source. You're not having to pay licensing fees to anyone, you know, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's nice to have that available. And it's also kind of a trend that I talked with previously in one of our Munchkinland episodes with Dan the Tabletop Man about this trend to start moving away from like fantasy settings to space fantasy settings. So we've got Star Trek. They're reissuing the Star Wars RPG original system later this year. We've got Starfinder, which is a Pathfinder set in space. And so, we're starting to see a huge increase in the space RPGs.
Well, people like the science fiction, you know?
They do.
I think we're due for a switchover, like a push in that direction. We've got so much Game of Thrones, so much like fantasy based stuff. It's time for that pendulum to swing a little more toward the science fiction side, and I think it's helped forward by things like The Expanse and of course Star Wars coming back with something every year. Now we got all the Star Trek stuff. Like I feel like we're now heading into prime science fiction land. for sort of extended culture stuff. And, you know, eventually we'll be swinging back toward fantasy because that's the way it is. And
oh, sure.
There's always room for both, but, you know, there's always like an emphasis for a while or whatever.
I do really like the Modiphius miniatures, like the Star Trek miniatures. Those are gorgeous.
Mm. Yeah, they're really nice. And at one point, I was a backer of the Kickstarter when this first started. So I have, you know, some of the basic stuffs. But I think if you want to buy the complete collection, I don't know if it's still available. It's like $800 to get like these. Yeah, the Borg Cube edition of that system. It's really sweet, but so expensive.
$536 for the Borg Cube. But it's like the cube opens up and it's got little drawers to keep all of your books and your miniatures and your dice and everything. It's great.
Yeah. I just couldn't justify spending that much on the system, though.
No.
Star Trek Adventures. This is called Adventures, right? This is the one mm-hmm. that you're talking about? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm looking at their... Oh, yeah, look at all that stuff. Those miniatures are awesome. And they're paintable, looks like.
Sure.
So you would like all of them. They always do this, right?
It's hard mm-hmm. to tell if those are pewter or if they're...
Highly detailed resin. It says resin here.
Resin, okay. Yeah.
Which makes sense to me. See, look at that.
They're really cool, and they come in original series and Next Generation stuff, too.
Oh, I like how the characters are kind of chunky. Like, how do I, it's hard to explain. They're like...
You mean like Fat Shatner?
Kinda.
Yeah.
Not fat, but like...
Stylized a little bit.
Realistic?
Realistic, but chunky. It's hard to explain. The art style is very specific.
Is that Laura holding Data's head in one of these miniatures?
Oh, I'm looking at the old school ones. Let's see.
Here, I'm putting a link to the image. 1 second here. All right, it's in Twitch right now. It is.
Okay. Hold on. Let's take a look at that.
Yep,
there.
That certainly is.
That's cool.
lore armor. Look at that. That's totally Data's head, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. His arm's too short. His arm's too short. His left arm's too short. Just a thought.
Yeah, foreshortening.
Sure. Yeah, that's what we call that.
Oh, then they've got the Borg Queen, too. Wow, from First Contact. This is cool. Really cool stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Well, do check that out, everybody. Majorspoilers.com has the link. Hellboy. Nothing but Hellboy. We're getting movies. We're getting reboots. We're getting comics. We're getting stuff. What's happening with Hellboy?
So a couple of things, and I don't know if you guys talked about this last week, but the first image of Jason, what's his name, Latour, or Hortour? What
is his name? Oh, it was Harbour.
Harbour, that's Harbour. His name.
The guy Harbour. From... Harbour. The guy from...
Harbour.
Harbour.
He's your... He's
Mike Mignola posted it.
The first, whatever things guy, right? The
Stranger Things.
Sheriff, yeah.
Well, that's him.
So we got our first look of him in his full Hellboy makeup for this this franchise reboot, and it looks pretty good. I think it looks pretty stunning. Now the hair is down; it's not pulled back in a like the little samurai braid that he has in the comic books. Mm-hmm. But it still looks pretty beefy and pretty out there.
I think looks he looks amazing.
Right hand of Doom looks pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
What's amazing is how much it still looks like Ron Perlman. I mean, like the face is like they just took a life cast of Ron Perlman and stuck it on this Jason Harbour's face.
Yeah. I like the longer hair. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Kinda like a mullet going on in the back. And the fist thing is different a little bit, but still super cool. Also, he's a little crustier on the horn cuts. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I'm all in on this. This is, and there's talk of R rating, which is exciting.
Oh yeah. They're definitely going for the R rating. And also based on some of the other actors that have been cast, it kind of feels like they're going maybe a little bit more on the BPRD, the Bureau of Paranormal Research and Development, that really wasn't touched on that much as an organization that was going out and dealing with these super magical events that were going on in the world. But with, Daniel Day-Kim, who has been cast as, what was his name? Daimyo. I believe is how you say his name, or Daimyo. Mm. I think that's the direction that they're going to go with this movie, which means a lot more violence, a lot more intensity. And we don't have to wait that long because the movie will arrive in theaters on January 11th, 2019.
Mm. I'm ready now. Let's do this damn thing. I'm excited. I feel like I just need it to come back. It's also going to feature Ian McShane as Professor Broom.
Oh, no, that's the other thing.
Oh, nice.
That's very exciting. Mila Jovovich and Nemue as the Blood Queen. Sasha Lance, Sasha Lance as Alice Monahan. And let's see, Penelope Mitchell is, how do you say that name? Ganida, whatever it is.
Ganida.
Who's playing the fish man? No fish man?
Not in this one.
Oh, really? No Abe Sapien?
That's what at least that's the casting that's come out now, that we don't have either.
Stinger.
Either of those in there.
Dang it.
Well, and again, so Hellboy has been around since World War II. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the comics, Professor Broom, by the time that we catch up and we have Abe and we have everyone else involved, he's rather aged. Ian McShane isn't that old. So I'm thinking these are some stories that may be taking place between World War II and the Hellboy that everyone knows.
Yeah, he looks pretty old in American Gods. He's pretty old, mm-hmm. that guy.
Which is another show I need to put on my list, too.
Oh, yeah, you gotta watch that. It's good. It's a little too sexy for its own good, but whatever.
Sexy.
I will say that, just a little quick reminder that William Hurt, or not William Hurt, John Hurt was that character in the Del Toro movies.
Right.
Right.
Well, the first one, anyway, because, spoiler, they killed him in the first movie. Wasn't
David Hyde Pierce... did the voice or something, or was it am I thinking of something else?
Oh, you're talking about Abe Sapien. I'm talking about Broom still.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. John Hurt, old man John Hurt was Broom, and then he's passed away recently. I can't think of a cooler replacement than
God. The In Memoriam segment on the Emmys was just heartbreaking, like all the greats we lost this year, and seeing John Hurt in there, and Florence Henderson, and
I heard they put Roger Ailes in there, the Fox News guy. Is that true?
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have put him in there.
Well, he deserved to be in there. He's
a bastard, though. I mean, I don't know what rules they have, but like, when Cosby dies, are people going to run him, do you think?
Yeah, they will.
They will, because regardless of what
no matter how rapey you were your entire life, we're still going to put you in the memorial.
You still got to... I don't know. That is going to be a...
And Roger Ailes, by all accounts, was a sex fiend. He was like a total bastard and treated women terribly at the workplace. So I don't know. I'm not saying they shouldn't or should. They can do whatever they want. But it struck me as like, ooh, okay. That's... I can't wait for the Cause to get up there and have everybody go, oh, Bill Cosby died. Not the same.
Yeah, like it's gonna be some weird stilted applause because they do throw a little applause, you know, in there when they
Did they clap for Roger Ailes? Did they clap for him?
They didn't clap for anybody until the very end. They did a really good job of honoring the don't clap till the very end because you don't want these people to be rated by the amount of applause they get.
Yeah. I'm very curious about the Cosby. When I'm not saying I want him to hurry up and die. He can die whenever he wants.
Well, we only have to wait till the end of the week, right, Scott?
But when he, yeah. Yeah. Well, then
the last In Memoriam is just going to be amazing at the Oscars.
Except no one will be there. Anyway, so there's that. That's exciting. Can't wait. Also, you got a recommendation. Invincible. What's going on with that thing?
So Invincible is a great series that started, well over a decade ago. From Robert Kirkman, Ryan Ottley, and I forget the other artist's name. But the series is finally coming to an end in a couple of months. This week, issue 140 comes out, and the series is scheduled to end at 144. If you haven't had a chance to pick up Invincible, it initially started off as kind of a tongue-in-cheek look at superheroes, but it quickly became something much, much different and something completely all its own. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a series that's worth checking out. You can find some great omnibus collections that are out there collecting the original run. I haven't read it in about, it's been about maybe 10 issues now because I'm saving them up to read the final giant arc all at once. But Invincible, a great series coming to an end in a couple of months. Definitely go out and pick it up.
Yeah. The thing,
so far back on those.
The best thing Kirkman did before Walking Dead, mm-hmm. many would say better than Walking Dead, but you know, people forget it was him, and it's amazing. Mm-hmm. I have three of the volume hardbound ones, and they're awesome.
Yeah,
I need to get the rest of it because
I've got a bunch of the little softcover graphic novel collections.
Yeah, it's really good,
and I need to catch up on those for sure.
Last week, you guys had mentioned this movie Antimatter.
We talked about it last night. I was curious what you thought.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the movie, and you're right from the description that you were listening to, Brian. It's very much like Primer. Mm-hmm. It goes in a little bit of a different direction and starts to get into some spiritual aspects of stuff. I mean, it's kind of touched on lightly, but it's something that's been talked about before. Mm-hmm. The weirdest thing about this movie is it came out last year at I forget which film festival. And it's only just been released. I mean, you can get this on iTunes, et cetera.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the technology that's used in the movie is really weird because it's supposed to be set kind of like in a modern day, mm-hmm. but they're using like old Canon handheld DV cameras, so that's tape-based. And, like, there's a shot of them using Final Cut, but it's, like, Final Cut Pro 6.
Weird.
In there, and it's just, that's the weirdest thing that threw me out of the movie. But otherwise, it's kind of got some tense moments in it, but it's a lot of fun, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Do they use a smartphone with a flood inhibitor in it?
No, but I'm trying to think if they're, and that's the other thing, because the phones that they use in there look like modern, like iPhones, which is really weird. So it's a different kind of movie, but if you like Primer a lot, I think you will enjoy this one as well. It kind of has a Donnie Darko kind of vibe to it a bit as well.
Okay. And only, by the way, you're my only friend I can think of that would have noticed what old version of Final Cut somebody was using. Like, specifically, like, oh, that looks like 6 running on.
Yeah, it was either 6 or 7, but I was like, what in the heck's going on? Because originally when the Canon camera popped up, I was like, okay, maybe this is just old tech. That's what they have lying around. But then as the movie progressed, they kept relying on this. There's a policeman who's using an exact same camera like that. And I'm just like, what is going on? So, yeah, that kind of video tech stuff does pop out to me.
So available for $4.99 in HD on iTunes if you want to rent it.
Definitely worth renting. I bought it. I thought it was good.
Same price on Amazon, looks like. You can get it to wherever you're used to renting things. I wish it was streaming. Seems like a thing that could take on a new life on streaming if people saw it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Get a little cult status going. But anyway, well, good. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Going to check that out. And speaking of checking things out, everybody at home should be checking out MajorSpoilers.com every day. Brand new content from Steven and many of his writers. It's all good stuff. Steven, anything else you'd like people to know?
Sure. One more thing. Legendary DXP, that video game that we've been talking about over a couple of episodes. They have updated that a lot in the last month. When I first got it, literally a month ago, it was buggy. It crashed all the time. This is now on version 12, and it is super solid. It rarely crashes, and even if it does, it's got a real cool reset button that you can just do, and it pops you right back into the game where you left off. Definitely worth checking out. I've got a new episode of Munchkinland up on our YouTube channel, Major Spoilers Video, where I went and played the latest version of it over the weekend, and it's super solid. So if you like Legendary, the game, the deck-building game, it's great in this electronic form. Definitely worth checking out.
Okay. The tutorial needs a little bit of work, because I've never played any version of Legendary, and tried to use their tutorial to figure out how to play it. And I think they assume that you've got some experience with Legendary and really are just explaining how the controls work in the game. So I need to I just need to find a YouTube video that says, here's how you play Legendary, and then I'll be just fine.
So what platform are you playing this on? Where is this?
Right now it's only available on the iOS. Okay. If you play it on your iPad Pro, it's great. It's coming out soon on Steam and Android devices, but they haven't given an official release date on that. My guess is sometime late October, mid November.
Okay. I'm just trying. Oh, there we go. Okay. I found it finally. There's a bunch of old games called Legendary, and Google doesn't know Legendary. What I'm looking for, but looks like it's reviewing well. People seem to like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll play the shit out of this. I'm in.
And it takes like 20 minutes to play a game.
Well, really? That's no big deal. Yeah. I got 20 minutes.
And each week you can go in and compete for ranking in the top, 100. And depending on, you get, virtual monies, you get other prize things that you can use to buy in-game stuff. So definitely worth checking out.
And is it Marvel, right?
No, this is Upper Deck.
They couldn't do the licensing.
Yeah, they haven't done the licensing on it. So it's all like high fantasy type stuff. So you're fighting all of these monsters and basic fantasy type stuff. My hope is that if enough people get this, though, that they can then, the company Upper Deck and is it Skyreach or whoever that's the programmers, can then go to Marvel and Paramount and these others and say, hey, we need to license Buffy, and we need to get the Marvel version of this in here, because then more people will buy.
That seems interesting. I'll try it. I like, I'm a big fan of the deck builders, not so much of CCGs, so for me I'm way more into anything you call a deck builder is more interesting to me.
Yeah, this is definitely a deck builder.
All right, I'll check it out. Again, majorspoilers.com, and of course Major Spoilers on Twitter. Steven, have a fantastic day.
Bye, guys.
Bye. See you, Steven.
May all your final cuts be 6.
May all of your spoilers be major.
There you go. All right. We're going to get out of here. Before we do, an email from Tracy, who says, hey, Schnauzer and Beagle. As I was growing up, I frequently questioned my parents on many topics, ranging from stuff as silly as why I had to go to bed and why they get to stay up to serious life-changing topics. The answer I often got was, do as I say, not as I do. As I got older, I came to recognize that they don't want me to make the same mistakes they did, and we're speaking from a place of experience and wisdom. Therefore, I don't see politicians that do things that conflict with the way they vote as a huge scandal. I personally struggle with my weight. I know what the right thing to do is. There's just some disconnect when it comes to disciplining myself when I'm hungry and I can't go outside and exercise on a bad diet. Am I a hypocrite to vote for healthier food options for school lunch in a PTA meeting? Should I not bother to tell my kids to eat better and avoid soda because I don't? In the Book of Morpheus, chapter 3, verse 16, it states, there's a difference between knowing the path and walking the path. Sure, the context is different, but people do that with the Bible all the time. It's fine. Totally fine. Bloop de blue blow, Tracy. That's a good point. I mean, there are things I do that are bad habits of mine, and I tell my kids to do the opposite all the time. Like, I don't know.
There is a line, though, that gets crossed when it's, you know, oh, I know diddling little boys is bad.
Right. No. You're right. But, like, exactly. That, like, there is a line. Obviously, there are extremes to this.
Yeah, versus, you know, all right, I should eat better versus I shouldn't diddle little boys.
Yeah, or if I'm in the kitchen and I'm like, all right, I'm going to have a Coke, and the kids are like, Dad, you told us not to drink too much Coke today, and here you are drinking one. I'm like, yeah, I'm your dad. Just do it.
So Tracy, I totally know where you're coming from, and I think that there is some truth to that. Like, if you do have those kinds of skeletons in your closet, you're more likely to be outwardly admonishing of them, right? Like, it would be like me saying, guys, Taco Bell is so bad for you. Don't go to Taco Bell. Don't eat there, because I eat there probably once a week.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and so I can't, I'm a terror, especially when it comes to food and how you should be eating. Like, Nick was eating ramen, like microwave ramen last night at midnight on a school night. Like, Nick, what are you doing? You're going to feel like crap in the morning. Whatever, Dad.
Feel like crap in the middle of the night.
Yeah, and he's like, whatever, Dad, I watched you eat like a whole package of, you know, whatever I ate. And he's right.
I work Oreos,
Yeah, he's right. But it doesn't mean it's not wrong to tell him that. So, yeah, I totally get where Tracy's coming from. It's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do this. What are we doing now? Let's do this. Hot tea. Oh, I got a call. We got to play a call. All right.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So follow up on the hot tea discussion. Somebody getting burned. Remember that deal?
Oh, yes, right.
Starbucks person, here you go.
Hey, Scott, this is Will from Texas. Just weighing in on the Starbucks hot water tea thing that happened to that lady. So this has happened to me at a few different locations. I'm a coffee and tea drinker, but when I have gone to Starbucks and asked for just a regular, you know, English breakfast or what have you, they do give you boiling water. And the reason why is they get it out of the espresso machine, which is boiling. And I assume that's just protocol on how they train all their people. But literally, I got a tea last week, and it's super fresh. I got a tea last week. It was an hour and a half, basically, before it was drinkable. I mean, it was ridiculously hot. Now, if we're talking about what it should be, I don't know how hot the water's coming out, but, you know, to boil or to make tea correctly, I think it's anywhere from 160 to 212 degrees for the water temperature for the type, or depending on the type of tea. But regardless, really, they just need to train their people differently. Anyway, right. Thought I'd weigh in. Have a good one.
There you go. Mm-hmm. I agree with him. It's don't train them. Be better at this.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, instead of getting water out of the espresso machine, maybe they should just have like a filtered hot water thing that isn't 212 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
You know, I think my Verissimo or whatever, not Verissimo, what do I have? I've got the Nescafe. I've got the George Clooney model of Nescafe. Mm. Whatever temperature that spits out for my coffee, that's a good temperature also for tea.
Do you really have the George Clooney model?
It's not really the George Clooney model, but I have the same coffee thing that George Clooney and Danny DeVito advertise.
Did you get it based on them advertising? That's what I
want
to know.
Oh, of course not.
Okay,
no.
All right. I'm just checking in, you know.
That stuff doesn't work on me.
He's a very handsome man. You know, he can
now
get
me. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go play my Game of War featuring Torso Girl and... and enjoy some of my Robert Redford salsa.
He makes salsa? No, you're thinking of the other guy that died.
Yeah, Paul Newman.
Paul Newman.
Who do you think took it over?
No, that's a good point. It's a good point. I wish Paul Newman would have lived longer. I like that guy. He was great.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. There's that. Real quick, I would like to make a clarification. There were a bunch of people in the chat room who seem to believe that the Book of Morpheus is a real Bible verse. It's a joke and a reference to something Morpheus said in the Matrix films. It's specifically a quote from the movie. Knowing is not enough. It's that whole conversation he had with Neo before Neo jumped across the building. So for anyone who thought that was actual scripture, I just want to clarify that. I can't believe I have to, but yes, there is no Book of Morpheus in the Bible. Okay? All right. That's it. Let's get out of here. Patreon.com/TMS is how you can support the show and keep it on its firm legs. Thank you, everyone who does. We are getting painfully close to our video or our game show thing. So.
Yeah, closer and closer. I love it.
Yep, go check it out. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. Brian, let's go with music in our hearts if we can.
Sure. This one's going out to Jordy und Beth. Mm. Hello, Brent and Spiner. When I discovered Extra Life Radio, I was an aimless 21-year-old. Listening to the show nurtured my inner geek and started me on the road that led to this. The Frog Pants community has been with me through depression, addiction, and the subsequent recovery. All of this came to a head in the past few years as I got my fecal matter together and shed 130 pounds. Sounds like you took your fecal matter and threw it away.
Yeah.
Got seduced by the love of my life, found a solid job, and bought a house. I'm sorry, I can't. The fecal matter in there just is throwing me off in the whole sentence there.
Yeah.
Saturday, the 16th of September, was the next big milestone in my life, as I finally officially promised the lovely zombie nurse whom I met at a zombie walk 5 years ago that I'll be with her forever. Our first dance will be to Dragon Force's You're Not Alone, and we'll be dressing like Gomez and Morticia, so a request along either of those lines somewhere during the week leading up to the 16th or after would hit every mark that I'm shooting for. In many ways, I credit the Frog Pants community with kickstarting my journey, and I have looked forward to seeing where it will take me in the future. Also, we'll be heading to Vegas for a honeymoon, so if there's anything we absolutely have to see, we would love to hear it. Love the snow, though, Jordy and Beth. Well, I'm guessing they're probably already in Vegas, so hopefully they found coverville.com/Vegas, which is where I put my Vegas recommendations. And yeah, I know, it's still in need of an update with some new things on it, so relax. I'll update it. Trust me.
Yeah.
So I looked for covers of Dragon Force, could not find one, but I do have a cover of the theme to the Addams Family done by Joey Gaynor. Now, Joey Gaynor is a comedian. I can't really think of something specific that he's known for. He's done some stand-up. He does a bit about what if the Little Rascals were Latino, things like that. But one of the things he does amazingly well is a spot-on impersonation of Frank Sinatra. And that's what you're going to get here. This is a cover of the Addams Family theme done by Joey Gaynor as Frank Sinatra. You'll find it on the 1994 collection Tales from the Rhino.
All right, here it is. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Yeah.
stick you and your mate can crawl on. We're gonna pay a little unexpected call on the Adams Family.
What a bunch of spooky cats in that joint. Who loves you, Pugsley? Hey, Thing, slap me five, baby. Hey, Lurch, put Sammy down. He came with me. Tish, you spoke French again. There goes the hair on my neck.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
What?
But, think, but.
Think, but.
Think, but.